Well, certainly as we pause, there is that sense in which in these very days our television sets turn on and there's devastation and destruction, and whether we turn and look at the hurricanes that have come into different islands and into Florida, into Houston, and we think of all that's going on in these different places, and certainly it is, raw sewage going into the streets of there in Florida or there in Puerto Rico. They don't know how long it'll be. It looks like not just weeks, but maybe months that the whole island will be without electricity. Our word just yesterday was that of having some people having generators, but they're running out of gas all over, so they can't keep the food cold or frozen or whatever, and there isn't drinkable water without boiling and all that's going on, and just amazing. Then, of course, we have our son there in Mexico City. City is some 25 million. They're now saying 28 million, but it's big. And it's lots of people. And an earthquake. And some 300 plus have died, and whether it's Morelos or in Puebla or Mexico City itself, buildings that are crushed. And then we would think of not only that earthquake there, but just to think historically of earthquakes. We'll be down soon to be preaching and teaching in the city of Valdivia, Chile, which is kind of the earthquake capital of the world. They had the 9.5 earthquake, 1960, and it completely changed the topography of the city. I mean, some ships disappeared. They never found. Powerful, 11 miles off the coast there, Valdivia, Chile. Or as we would think of all the threats that are going on and the very feeling of this thing of nuclear bombs or a hydrogen explosion to be done out over the Pacific somewhere, it just goes beyond our understanding of what hope is there in this world that is such violence. Just in these months, I guess it's been maybe over a year or so, we've had about 6 funerals. Part of Cornerstone, people that we love very dearly and that are very much a part of things in a living way, and to think, what hope is there in this world that we live in, that we speak of often as being so broken, a world that is in such great need? What happens if these crazy people began to explode bombs? What happens? And so we ask that question. And then, of course, we think of the elements of disease and our bodies wearing out, or the what is called the emperor of all maladies, cancer. But really, the emperor is death. And, of course, it comes. There's such a reality of that. And there's kind of a shadowlands that we all, in a sense, live in, a shadowland of death that's very real. So I thought it was good for us to pause and read from God's Word the great hope that we have, that no other religion in all of history, nothing else is comparable to it. This great hope that we have. We read from Revelation chapter 21, these tremendous words that give us great hope. If you remember, this book starts out the revelation of Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, we have John on the Isle of Patmos. He's there for the testimony of the Word of God. He's exiled there on that island. And he says it's on the first day, the imperial day of the week. And that signals to us, each day that we come together, we're alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. The first day of the week. And so we need to read this book in the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need to worship each Lord's Day in the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need to read of this new hope, this wonderful eternal hope, in the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is risen. John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea." And this is significant. "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband." And of course, this is the church of Jesus Christ. Christ is that wonderful groom. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'And he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" He will wipe away, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now, as you look at this expression that's given there, right from verse 1, I would like for you to know that there's something of judgment that's going on. There's something of what we might say, a great farewell to the Shadowlands. John is rehearsing to us, as God has given him this vision, a farewell to the Shadowlands of this world of sin and brokenness. As you look at that little expression there, that's there in verse 1, it says, "And there was no longer any sea." Now, for us, we think of the ocean and the grandeur and the glory of all of this, and there's something beautiful about the sea. But to the Jews, the sea was that place of roaring, foaming, dark things. They were not ones who were accomplished seamen at all. In fact, if there's someone here that wants to write a short book on history, you could write it on the great naval heroes of the Jews. There aren't any. It's a short book. There was a fearfulness of the sea. In fact, as you read through the book of Revelation, you'll see that it represents the evil one, Satan, standing on his shores, and that which comes out of it, the Leviathan and the powerful beast and all of this. There's something here of evil. And then remember again, how was John on this island? And we often maybe have a picture, if you've gone on some tour or something, you know that the Isle of Patmos right now is something of a place where, you know, tourists go and they see where there was the cave where supposedly John wrote the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Or there's a monastery there and it's grandeur. But really, as we go back in history, it's really just a volcanic rock island that's about 6 miles this way and about 7 miles this way. And it's treeless. It's not exactly what you call a tourist spot at that point when John was there. In fact, in a sense, the roaring, the sea was his prison walls. He was exiled to this island. He was put there as persecution as they got rid of his preaching and teaching. Now, as we look at this before us, I would have you just think with me There's something here that men are always trying to do in our world. They're always trying to create what they have called a utopia. So we'd have perfect persons, perfect politics. That's certainly kind of a strange thing to put together, perfect politics. But as you would look at these things, there's something there that man is always trying to put together, something that would be perfect, his utopia. But man is never able to put it together at all. And all is planning and ideology and philosophy, and if you'll just do these things, it'll all come together. And it's always a failure. But God is promising something here, not just perfect people and places and politics, but He's promising something here of a cleansing. Notice verse 4, what it says there. He says, He, God, will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. No more tears. No more death. No more pain, it says. No more mourning. No more crying. No more sea. The sea is gone of all this that is pain and brokenness, the effects of sin. But it's God's work. There's a farewell being said here to dementia and Alzheimer's, to birth defects, those things that you might think in your own way you can't change, all these things. Man has tried. And I would ask you the question, is there some massive disappointment in your life? Is there something of sorrow in your life? Something of disaster that seems to have been a shadow upon your life all the days of your life? Something right now you can't change. There's hope. He is saying a farewell to the shadow land. He is pronouncing that God will change this broken world. God's promise and God's power, they're greater than all the brokenness and sorrow of sin of this world. His promise and His power, we can trust. He can do it. He can build it. But now look with me, the great remaking of all things. Now, this passage speaks of the new heaven and the new earth. New, in one sense in the New Testament, speaks of something that would be the first time new. It would be something that has to do in that sense of new in time, first time. That word is not the new word that's here. In fact, whenever it speaks of the new heaven and the new earth, it speaks of something that is new in nature. Something that has been transformed, not done away with, but something that is made new in that sense of its nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, maybe some of you could give that verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a you're a new creation. Not that you were annihilated and you're gone and now God created another one. But you are a new person in nature. You have a new wonder, a new desire, a new heart. You follow the voice of the one that speaks, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's been a change take place. It's an amazing statement, really. This new heaven and new earth. He's speaking here of what is in 2 Peter chapter 3. We have a statement there concerning that passage of Scripture. In fact, if you open your bulletin and you'll notice on the back there, we should have put the verse 2 Peter 3, 8 through 13. And this is a commentary that is very helpful on that passage of 2 Peter chapter 3. I would encourage you to read through that passage. But here, as we're speaking of what God is going to do, how He's going to build that new world, that new heaven, that new earth, yes, He does that by fire. It's as the old confession of faith would say, with fire to cleanse it. That is, with fire and flame to cleanse it. So that just as we have in the Old Testament, that of the flood, it was not that everything was taken away and destroyed in that sense, but all evil was taken away and destroyed. There was the flood. And in this sense, there will be a refining fire that will cleanse away that which is sinful. We have that at the very beginning of your bulletin there, a quote from an excellent volume that someone recently graciously gave to me by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones on the church and last things. And the doctor, when he's speaking there of wars and diseases and cancer and blood clots and malfunctions, growing of the creation, the comment of the doctor, Martin Lloyd-Jones, is that when God's work of redemption reaches its consummation, not only will every rebellious creature be cast out of heaven, but the earth itself will be cleansed of every vestige of sin. Heaven and earth, rather than being estranged from each other, will once more be reunited in a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And that's what we have in the last verse of our passage, verse 8, when it speaks of the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars. There will be a cleansing of all. There will be that refining element of His powerful, purifying fire. Malachi speaks of that one who will come as the refiner's fire to refine all things. We have an interesting word there in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Some of your versions would have, at the very end of that, burned up. But those are much later manuscripts. The older manuscripts have this strange expression that with that fire, with that tremendous heat, with that refining fire, all of creation will be laid bare. It will be as a refining fire, or a term from metallurgy. That is how metals are refined, and the pure gold would come out of something. The pure silver would come out of that in a powerful way. It shows us the beauty of what God will do when He creates the new heaven and the new earth, burning with fire and flame to cleanse it. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, that refiner's fire. And God says, I am making everything new. New in nature. And so, when we come to this passage, it is that which gives us hope. Eternal hope. Not just that they will discover something that will take care of this problem, or some little new thing here, or someone will change, or it's the great hope. And I would ask you to follow this passage with me in just for a few moments when we think of the greatest of all hope, the coming of the Alpha and the Omega, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6 with me. He said to me, it is done. Who else said that? Who else said that? It comes from that very element of what Christ did on the cross. It is finished. It is done. It is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ to take away our sins. Yes, it is done. That cleansing power will come as a refiner's fire. It is done. And He is the one who will bring that refiner's fire. We can say, well, What hope do we have? Notice again, verse 5, just to back up a little way. It says here, at the second half of verse 5, write this down. I think he must have known we need to write things down or we forget. Write this down. For these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. It is something that we can trust after hurricanes, after volcanoes erupting, after earthquakes, after cancer, after everything that you can come up with, after death itself. We have this hope, this comfort. Guarantee? Yes. What is the guarantee? He is risen. He is risen indeed. It is the reality that each Lord's Day we come together to celebrate Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He is the first part of the process. He is the first fruit of the whole resurrection of his people to newness of life, new bodies, new creation, new world. He is the guarantee that the deaf will hear, that the blind will see. He is the guarantee. Do you remember that? Do you remember that when we come together? That's why we worship on this first day of the week. That's why after thousands of years, here are the Jews still not recognizing Jesus as the Savior, as the Messiah. But then why did those Jews all the way back in the New Testament time, why did they do this radical change? The seventh day of the week was so important, but they changed. They began to worship on the first day of the week. Why? He is risen. That's the great guarantee. That's the fact of redemption. So we can say together, he is our hope because he is risen from the dead. Now, very quickly, let me give you just three things of application. Very briefly. First, 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us that the one who has this hope purifies himself. Now, it's given us that picture of the very elements, the nature of creation itself. Its very elements in nature will be burned up. All the dross of sin will be completely, radically burned up, but the creation itself will come out as gold, refined. We are to be purifying ourselves, not someone else arriving and putting their finger in the wound, but we as God's people, having this great hope, are to be purifying ourselves, dealing with our own sins, repenting of our sins, changing, getting rid of those elements, the effects of sin in our own lives. Secondly, if you have this hope that is so great, so grandiose, so glorious, nothing else even compares to it anywhere. It is the hope of all things being reunited to God, to in Christ. A new heaven and a new earth. How can we be silent and not share this great hope with others? It would almost seem like it would be an impossibility to keep quiet. When Jesus came into Jerusalem and the praise was set forth from the children, those that tried to quiet them, his reply was that even the rocks will cry out in praise. We have in Scripture how in this great day of the new heaven and the new earth, the whole of creation will be liberated. It will no longer be in its bondage to sin and its effects of sin. We have the taste of that new creation. We've been created anew in Christ. How can we possibly be silent about that hope? May God give us all tongues to speak of Jesus. And then third, certainly as you look at this, hope is paramount. What I mean by that, no matter what is your worst day, the worst thing that you think could happen, you got bad results, you failed the test. You got an F in that subject you thought you were going to get an A in. Or suddenly that word of death in your family, a loved one, or whatever, the worst day. Do you realize? God is the one who can make all those things that seem to be impossible, sad. New heaven, new earth is the promise in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, of a new world in Christ. We're going to sing this wonderful hymn, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." If you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you've been really in union with Him and know Him and have this hope, yes, you're going to purify yourself. Yes, you're going to share that with others. But oh, how we need to have that reality for all of us, no matter what the worst day may bring. It is well with my soul in Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, we do ask for that shalom of your Holy Spirit to come down into our minds and hearts, whether it be that of very simple things of paying the bills in every way, or health issues of tests that we don't know what they hold for us, our children, our parents, whatever those things may be, Lord, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to speak that peace be still, that shalom to all of our minds and hearts this morning, with nuclear bomb threats and world and chaos and craziness, volcanoes or hurricanes or earthquakes. Lord, we know that you do all things well and we can trust in you. And we do look forward to that new heaven and that new earth, because Jesus Christ arose from the dead. He is risen. He is risen indeed. In His name we ask for your blessing upon us. Amen.